everybody. Stand up. Here in your light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrendered to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. You are awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Your love, a force of grace, consuming every space. It's uncontainable. You're coming like a flood. Our hearts are filling up. All things are possible. All things are possible. You are awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift your name up, Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. In this place, Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Welcome to Ascend Church, everyone. Good to see you. This is not... That's okay. We're ready. want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good, good to me. Nothing shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, because you are good, you are good to me. And with the cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. And in the sunny rain, my life celebrates, in the summer rain, my life celebrates. You are good, you are good. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good to me. You are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good, good to me. Past the stars, there's an answer to every question mark, and there's a name. There's a hope flowing through these veins. There's a voice that echoes through the pain, and there's an ember ready for the flame. there's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. Triumphs over fear. There's a laughter wipes away all tears. There's a presence changes atmosphere. There's a name.
Come on, you guys.
We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We'll stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. Love has a name. Love has a name. Jesus. And love has a name. Love has a name. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. And love has a name. Love has a name. Jesus. Oh, yeah. And my victory has a name. And my victory has a name.
Jesus, there's victory and there's hope for whatever situation we face. There's always hope when we have Jesus. Amen. Morning Ascend Church. Good to see you today. Glad you're here. We're worshiping God. You sound so good. This is a time in our service where we have the opportunity for prayer. If you have a prayer request, if you have a need in your life, there's always hope, right? And He has the victory. And you know, God really cares about every aspect of your life. You know, sometimes we think, well, it's only the big things. You only want to go to God with the big things. But He cares about every single aspect. You know, just in this praise report, Teresa came to me this morning, and she'd come to me a couple of weeks ago, and months ago, and said that she'd lost her diamond ring, and it was a sentimental because her dad had given one to each of the girls in the family. And I said, you know, God is the God of lost things, right? He found the lost coin and the lost sheep. And God, you know, it's not too small to ask the Lord for something that means something to you. And then last week, we were talking about Juju, who was saying how she dropped the stone out of her ring, and 2 weeks later saw just a sparkle in her eye, and there it was on the carpet, pointed out. And Teresa was like, Lord, if you can do it for Juju, you can do it for me. So she said she opened a drawer this week, and it's been months. She opened a drawer, and there was her diamond sitting right in between some clothing. So praise God. That's good news. Like I said, God cares about every aspect. It's not all, you know, just like things matter to you, matter to this world, this material world matters. Your job matters. Your family, your relationships matter. Everything matters to the Lord. And we have some prayer requests being given to us today, and someone's battling depression. We're going to pray over them today. But if there's any area of your life that you want us to pray for, we have a prayer team that know how to pray, that know how to stand in faith. This is what Jesus did when He walked the earth. He prayed, He ministered to people constantly. The Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever need you have, we're going to sing one more worship song. If you're not coming forward for prayer, just participate in this worship song, because we're not singing with a band. We are worshiping God.
That's right.
And what happens when we worship God is the atmosphere changes.
Yes.
The Bible says that God inhabits the praise
right.
of His people. And so if you want to be in the
That's
presence
right.
of God, you worship your way into
yes.
the presence of God.
That's right.
Amen?
That's
Did
right.
You want to add to
You know,
that?
Worship does more for you than it does for God.
Right.
It doesn't change Him. He's the same before you worship Him and the same after. Worship changes you.
Right.
It changes you. And the reason we start out our service with singing and worship is not to give people a chance who late, you know, to stop at Starbucks so they can get their coffee and not miss the sermon.
You could do that.
It's not a preliminary.
Yeah.
This isn't a preliminary. This is the main event.
Right.
And let me tell you, it's all about Jesus.
Yes.
We're here to lift up Jesus.
Right, right. Amen.
And you know, you got to get over yourself. Because for me, when I first gave my heart to the Lord and came to a church like this, it was very difficult for me to clap my hands and lift my hands because I was shy. And I was concerned. Everyone's looking at me. Now I don't give two hoots who's looking at me. But you've got to get over yourself. And you've got to realize, Lord, You are so worthy of my worship. You are so great. You are so mighty. That I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to lift my voice and I'm going to give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, it's all about You. And this song we're going to do is called My One and My All. And that really for me, Jesus, You are my one and You are my all. You are everything that I need. There's nobody like You. So I want to encourage you as we pray for people. If you need prayer today, please don't be shy. We love You. God loves you. There's nothing too big or too small that He doesn't want to take care of. So come forward today. Our prayer partners are going to pray for you. And if you're not coming for prayer, worship with us. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Come on, let's give God our best worship today. Can you say amen?
with one word. The world rearranges, the world rearranges by one life. Death was defeated, death was defeated, and this one love has paid for my freedom.
Hallelujah. This God that we serve, the Bible calls him the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Ancient of Days. He was before time began. Family, who is man that you are mindful of him? We are so small in comparison to our awesome God. There's no one like him. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who flung the stars into the heavens. Everything we see, the Bible says we look at the sky and we see the handiwork of God. And we know who he is. And we know how great he is. There's no one like him. Say, Lord, there's no one like you. There's no one like you. We worship you in this place. Hallelujah. That's the power of worship. Don't you sense yourself just coming into the presence of God, beginning to, everything else starts to fade away and you start to think of the awesomeness of God. Any situation you're facing, any circumstance just begins to fade when you think of the greatness of God. For he is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Greatly to be praised. We worship you in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to church family. So glad you're here. Won't you take 60 seconds and turn around and find somebody and ask them how their week was? We want to welcome those that are watching online. We have people that watch us every service from all over the world on Facebook Live, on our phone, our mobile app. And, you know, years ago, that wasn't even an option, but now it's an option. I always say the first choice is to be in church in person. Amen. And if you can't be, that's an option. But we're glad you've joined us, be a part of the service today. And I want to welcome each and every one of you. It's such a pleasure. I love standing in the lobby, and Stephen so kindly brings us all those donuts every week. Come on. I hear them. I heard the guys saying, they're like, Mr. Weed's here. Mr. Weed's here. That means the donuts just came in. Sorry, you're now stuck with that. You're right. But it's such a blessing. But I love that when we get in the lobby, even before the service, just to meet you and see you. So glad to have you worship with us today. You know, there's a lot of places you could be today, and maybe you drove past your neighbors and you see people washing their car or mowing their lawn, and there's a lot of good things you could be doing today, but there's nothing better than being in the house of God. It's a way to begin your week, right? You're putting God first in your week. Isn't that true? And so I commend you for being in church this morning. And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? And there's a number of people that it's not your first time, it may be your second time or third time or fourth time. We love seeing you come back. We're thankful that you're receiving whatever it is you need. But if you are here for the first time, what we like to do is just, our ushers are standing ready. They've got a visitor pack they just like to give you right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. Do it again. Otherwise, he won't see you. Thanks, Prudential. Anyone else? Just thank you. So good to have you here. In there is a number of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there just hoping it'll be an encouragement, a blessing, uplift you in the week. So thank you for taking that. But there's also a card that says guest. And we ask you just take a moment and fill your name out, at just a name and a phone number. Pastor Steve would love to give you a call and just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for joining us this morning. Amen.
You can purpose this
I'm going to.
going to, but I thought it's not going to take long. We've got four main purposes of our church. You should know them by now. The first one, and we're going to expound on this today, is to help you to know God. Because how many of you know we can know God, but then we need to keep knowing God, right? And so know God for who he is, his character. That's our first purpose. Secondly, is for us to find freedom in every area of our life. Thirdly, to discover our purpose. And fourth, to make a difference with our life. I want to make a difference with my life. How about you? Amen. So thanks, Pastor Steve.
And
share on Facebook.
That's right. So share it.
I have to leave something for you to do. Just kidding.
It was a good one. Praise God. Well, good morning. It is good to see you today. Tell your neighbor one more time, I'm glad you're here today. You made the right decision. Praise God, the rain didn't keep you away. When I saw that little tiny bit of rain, I was praying, thank you, Lord, the rain doesn't keep anybody away. Even that little tiny bit of rain. But glad you made it. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is what brings us life and wisdom, direction. Your word is a lamp to our feet. Father, as I stand today to teach your word, I make it known that I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you. I'm not trusting in myself. I thank you, Lord, that you're the greater one who lives on the inside of me. And I thank you for anointing me today. And I thank you for anointing your word, Lord, and carrying your word to every person's heart, causing faith to rise, removing all doubt and unbelief. Thank you for bringing understanding and revelation, Lord. And Lord, we give you all the thanks for everything that will be said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, didn't the worship team do a wonderful job today? Give them a big round of applause. Come on, give them a big round of applause. We appreciate such a great job in leading us in worship. Let me tell you, worship, it just changes the whole atmosphere. It really does. Today I want to speak to you about know God. It's one of our four purposes here at Ascend Church, is to help people to know God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 9, in verse 23, it says, this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and that they understand that I am the Lord. If you want to boast about anything, boast that you know God. The Bible says don't boast in your wisdom, don't boast in your power, don't boast in your riches. Boast in the fact that you know the Lord. Knowing God is the greatest thing in life. Can you say amen? Knowing God is the greatest thing in life. And the first step to knowing God is through a relationship with his son, Jesus. That's why God sent Jesus to the earth, was that we could know God. In 1 John 5, verse 20, the scripture says, and we know that the Son of God has come so that we can know the true God. Why did the Son of God come? So that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Jesus came to the earth that we can know God. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. You can't know God without knowing Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 3, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. If you want to know what God is like, just look at Jesus. Just study the life of Jesus. Jesus came to show us the character of God, what God is like. You can know what God is like by looking at the life of Jesus, looking at the things that he did. The Bible says Jesus went around doing good, healing all, forgiving, providing, delivering, protecting, guiding, loving. That's what Jesus went around doing good. Amen. And Jesus came to be the mediator between God and man. He came to bring us back to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, there is only one God, and Christ Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. Jesus is the only way that you can know God. You see, sin is what separates us from God, and we all have sinned. But Jesus came to the earth to take our sin on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be born again, so that we could become children of God, so that we could be made the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus came to the earth. The greatest thing in the world is to know God, is to know Jesus. Jesus came to the earth so that you can know God. Amen. Through a relationship with Jesus, if you've received Jesus into your heart, if you have confessed Him to be Lord of your life, then you have come to know God. You have been introduced to God. However, getting to know God intimately is a lifelong pursuit. Are you with me? Now, you know, I've met Joel Osteen. I had lunch with Joel Osteen. I went to his church. I filmed a video with him. We had lunch in his office. He showed me around the building. So you may say, if you ask me, do you know Joel Osteen? I could say, I know him. But I don't really know him. His wife, Victoria, knows him. Do you understand? So you can know Jesus, but there is another level of becoming intimate with God. In Hosea 6, verse 3, the Bible says, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. Now, the Apostle Paul understood, because after 30 years of knowing Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 3, verse 10, and he said this. He said, all I want is to know Christ. Well, didn't Paul know Christ? Yes, he'd known Christ for 30 years. After knowing Jesus for 3 decades, after being used by God as few people ever have or ever will be, after writing more than half the New Testament, here's Paul saying, I just want to know Him. I just want to know Jesus. I just want to know God after 30 years of knowing Him. In Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul said this. He said, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively, say progressively, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. You see, God wants you to progressively become more intimately and deeply acquainted with Him. For His sake, He said, I have lost everything, and I consider it all to be mere rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Now listen to the Living Bible translation of the same verse. It says, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing, in order that I can have Christ. Listen to the contemporary English version. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else, and I count it all as garbage. All I want is Christ. Listen to the Passion Bible. Are you getting the picture yet? Listen to the Passion Bible. To truly know Him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me. Do you know another word for manure? Does anyone know what manure is? They told me in America I'm allowed to say this word. When I first came here, they said, this is not a bad word. Crap. Is that a bad word? They say in America you can use that word. Manure. Crap. There's a couple of other words you could think of that I won't use. But here's the thing. Paul said, compared to knowing Jesus, it's all garbage. It's all rubbish. It's all worthless. It's all crap. He said, it's like a pile of manure to me so that I can be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. Notice, Paul said everything else is worthless. Compared to knowing Jesus, it's rubbish, it's garbage. It's a pile of manure. Everything else in life compared to him is a bunch of crap. I want to let that hang there because a lot of us are caught up in a bunch of crap and we should be focused on knowing God. Amen, amen somebody. Let me read Philippians 3:10 again from the Amplified Bible. It says, my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may become progressively more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, that I may perceive and recognize and understand the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts over believers, that I may share his sufferings and be continually transformed into his likeness. Paul said, all I want to do is know him and become like him. I want to just know him more intimately, and I want to become like him. Paul said, that is my determined purpose in life, to know Jesus more intimately so that I can become transformed to become like him. Now, when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, he wrote it while he was in prison, and it was in about AD 62. It was right near the end of Paul's life. Paul died between AD 62 and AD 64, so it's right toward the end of his life. It's just before his death. Paul has known the Lord for 30 years. Paul has been a Christian for over 30 years. Paul knew Jesus. Jesus had appeared to Paul a number of times, beginning with his conversion when he was on the road to Damascus, because Paul used to be called Saul. His name used to be Saul. And he was a religious zealot who persecuted Christians. He had Christians thrown into jail. He even had Christians murdered. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death in Acts chapter 7. Paul was there holding the people's coats as they were stoning Stephen to death. Because the reason they stoned Stephen to death, because he was preaching the gospel. Saul is on his way to Damascus to arrest more Christians when all of a sudden Jesus appears to him. It happened in Acts chapter 9, but Paul talks about it in Acts 22 and again in Acts 26 when he appears before King Agrippa. I want to read it to you. The first time Jesus appeared to Paul, Paul tells about it in Acts 26. He said, for that purpose I went to Damascus with the authority granted to me by the chief priests. While I was traveling on the road at noon, your highness, I saw light brighter than the sun flashing from heaven all around me and those who were with me. And we all fell to the ground. And I heard a voice speaking to me in Aramaic and saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are only hurting yourself when you resist your calling. I asked, who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Get up and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you to reveal your destiny and to commission you as my assistant. You will be a witness of what you have seen and the things that I will reveal to you whenever I appear to you. Because Jesus would appear to Paul a number of times after this. A few days after Paul's conversion, Jesus appeared to him again. In Acts 22, it says, one day after my return to Jerusalem, while I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. And I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't believe you when you give them my message. So here, again, Jesus appears to Paul a second time. And then Jesus appeared to Paul another time when he was on a ship. He was going to Rome. He was going to appear before Caesar himself. And the Bible says in Acts 23, verse 11, that night our Lord appeared to Paul and stood before him and said, receive miracle power, for just as you have spoken for me in Jerusalem, you will also speak for me in Rome. So there's at least three times that we know of where Jesus appeared to Paul. Not only that, but Paul said Jesus took him up to heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, it says, 14 years ago, I was taken up to heaven for a visit. Don't ask me whether my body was there or just my spirit. I don't know. I can't tell. Only God can answer that. But anyway, I was there in paradise. And I heard things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put into words. And anyway, I'm not allowed to tell them to others. There were some things Paul heard and saw in heaven that he couldn't say. Are you with me? Now think about this. Here's my point. The Apostle Paul had these amazing encounters with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him at least three times. Jesus took him up into heaven. And yet here, near the end of his life, Paul says, all I want is to know Jesus better. Paul prayed that you and I would know Jesus, would know God better. In Ephesians 1 verse 17, this is the prayer of Paul. He said, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Paul said, I pray that the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, that you would know him. We should pray that prayer for ourselves. You know, you should pray, Lord, please give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I can know you better. We should have the same attitude Paul had. Our lifelong pursuit should be to know God better. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, since these virtues are already planted deep within you and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. And then in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, intimacy with Jesus is something that you continue to grow in. Can you say amen, somebody? It's been said that Christianity is not a religion, but it's a personal relationship with a living God. And how many of you know that a relationship requires effort? How do you get to know your wife? By spending a lot of time with her. How do you get to know your friend? By spending time with your friend. I mean, how silly would it be if I talked to everybody about my best friend, but I never actually talked to my best friend? I bet that best friend wouldn't stay a best friend for very long. In fact, that friend would probably say, you don't even really know me. You just know about me. Do you know there's many Christians, they know about God, but they don't really know him. You know why? Because they don't spend any time talking to him. If you want to get to know God, you've got to spend time talking to him. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more intimately you'll come to know him. I want to share three things with you of how you can get to know God better. Number one, you get to know God intimately. Number one, you get to know God intimately by prayer, through praying. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is our greatest Christian privilege, but we might as well admit it's our greatest Christian failure. The worst attended meeting in any church is the prayer meeting. The barbecues are packed out. The prayer meeting, another story. Prayer is vital to our Christian life. If you want to know God and impact this world, prayer is where it begins. Jesus set the example for us. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, yet he prayed all the time. Jesus prayed all the time. Mark 1 verse 35, it says, the next morning Jesus got up long before daylight. He left the house while it was still dark, and he made his way to a secluded place to give himself to prayer. Matthew 14, 23, while the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. So here we see Jesus getting up early before it's even light and going away in a secluded place to pray. We see him going to the mountain and praying into the night. Luke 6 verse 12 says, one day soon afterwards he went out into the mountains to pray, and he prayed all night. All night long. Luke 5, 16 says, Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. Jesus often slipped away and went to pray. You telling me the Son of God, who was perfect without sin, needed to pray, but you and I don't need to pray? Matthew 26, 36 says, Jesus went with him to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go pray. I go over there to pray. And he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed, and he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. What he was saying to them is, stay here and pray with me. He went a little farther and he bowed his face to the ground and he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Couldn't you pray with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. In Hebrews 5 verse 7, it says, while Christ was here on the earth, he pleaded with God, praying with tears and agony of soul to the only one who would save him from premature death, and God heard his prayers because of his strong desire to obey God at all times. Now what that means is that they tried to take Jesus out and kill him many times before the actual time. But God protected him. Jesus, the perfect sinless Son of God, thought it necessary to pray often. Why do we think it's not necessary for us to pray often? Jesus taught us that we should pray and we should never stop. In Luke 18 verse 1, Jesus said, one day Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop, never lose hope. Never pray and keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 5, when you pray, he didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know when the scripture talks about he that dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow of the Almighty and the angels of God will protect? The secret place is the place of prayer. Now let me tell you, you can talk to the Lord all day. You can have a conversation with God all day. You can get up in the morning, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you. You're with me today. You're guiding me today. I thank you, Lord. You're helping me today. You're protecting me. You can just talk to the Lord throughout the day. Oh, this is such a wonderful day. I mean, Jesse Duplantis tells me, he told me he takes Jesus for rides on his motorcycle. He's like, Jesus, jump on the back. We're going for a ride. We're going for a motorcycle. Andre Bronkhorst goes with Jesus to the movies. He buys Jesus popcorn and when they go to the movies. Now, that may seem a little silly to you, but the point is that they have an awareness that the Lord is with them. See, you can talk to the Lord throughout the day. Are you with me? But you also need to draw aside, like Jesus did, and get in a private place where there's no distractions and seek God earnestly in prayer. Are you with me? I'm going to read on from Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, verse 7 says, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. This is what's called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do you notice that Jesus started out his prayer with worship? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, I encourage you to include worshiping God in your prayer time. I start out my prayer time worshiping God. I put on my music on my phone, my worship, and I start out, Lord, I just want to worship you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, you are so great. I just begin singing and worshiping God. That's the way to start prayer, is with worship. David said this. David said in Psalm 119, in verse 164, he said, I stop to praise you 7 times a day because all your ways are perfect. David said, man, I'm going to stop and give God praise 7 times a day. If the Muslims can bow down 5 times a day and pray to their false god, we can pray and worship God 7 times a day. And everybody said, amen. And let me tell you, worship is what brings God's presence, brings you into God's presence. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, you are holy, O you who inhabit the praises of Israel. God dwells in the praises of his people. Worship gets his attention. Amen. Let me go back to the Lord's Prayer, continuing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, you're praying, God, I want your will in my life. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's very important to forgive anyone that's wronged you so that you can be forgiven by God. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Let me tell you, the early church, the church of the book of Acts, were committed and devoted to prayer. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the first thing they did was pray. In Acts 1:14, it says they all met together and they were constantly united in prayer. They were constantly united in prayer. Acts 2:42 says all the believers, say all the believers. Let's just one more time. Everyone, all the believers. Say that means me. If you're a believer, that means you. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing meals, and to prayer. Notice, all the believers devoted themselves to prayer. Not just the pastor. Pastor Steve, you pray for me, okay? No, you need to learn to pray for yourself, honey. The Passion Bible says that we're coming together regularly for prayer. The early Christians were devoted to prayer. Shouldn't we be devoted to prayer? Amen. How many of you come to our prayer meeting? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Because we have prayer every Tuesday. We have about 8-10 people come. And then once a month, we have prayer. The first Saturday of the month, the last time we had 18 people. You tell me, where's the other 200 or 300 people that we need to be devoted to prayer, family? You need to be devoted to prayer. If we have prayer once a month, my Lord in heaven, once a month, you need to be there. Thanks for your great enthusiasm this morning. It's true whether you believe it or not. One day you'll come and say, Pastor Steve, you were so right. Thank you that you told me that. We as a church need to be devoted to prayer. Because let me tell you, if you want God to move in your life, it doesn't happen without praying. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not really comfortable praying around other people. That's why you need to come to pray. I don't really know how to pray. That's why you need to come to pray. Even more reason for you to be there. That's where you'll learn how to pray. When you come to pray, no one's here to make you look bad. We're here to help you. I learned to pray by going to prayer meetings. That's how I learned to pray. The apostles depended on prayer. They did not make a move without seeking the Lord's guidance in prayer. In Acts 3 verse 1, it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. I had to shout that out. Daily. Not once a month. Are you kidding me? Every day they went to pray. There is no excuse. Let me tell you right now. I'd love to see what God's going to tell you when you tell him how you didn't have time to come once a month and pray. Acts 6 verse 4, the apostles said, we will give ourselves continually in prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 12 verse 5 says, while Peter was being kept in jail, the church never stopped praying to God for him. And what happened? God sent an angel and delivered Peter from jail. Folks, we too must be dependent and devoted to prayer. You don't have to try and impress God with your prayers. You don't have to try and use poetic language. Oh, thee, Lord, I beseech thee, O most mighty God, that thou mightest hear us thy humble servant this day. You don't have to try and be Shakespeare, unless you are Shakespeare. If an earthly child can speak to their earthly father, you can speak to your heavenly father. Just be yourself. I had a friend of mine every time, and he was a pastor. Bless his heart. But every time we prayed, he changed into a different person. We'd pray, be like, hallelujah, Lord in heaven. Why are you talking like that? I beseech thee this day. Just talk yourself. Be yourself. Steve, what is okay for me to pray for? What's okay for me to pray about? Well, here's what the Bible says. In Philippians 4 verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank him for his answers. And if you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus. Pastor Steve, what can I pray about? Everything. Then you can pray to God about anything. Well, I don't want to bother the Lord with this. Listen, don't be a dum-dum. Don't be a dum-dum. You are not bothering God. He has invited you. He's told you, come and pray. Pray about everything. Instead of worrying, pray. Let me tell you, that's a wide-ranging permission. Pray about everything. There's nothing outside of the reach of prayer. If it concerns you, it concerns God. Amen. John 16, verse 23, Jesus said, when that time comes, he says, you won't need to ask me for anything. Jesus said, instead, you will go directly to the Father, and you will ask Him for anything you desire, and He will give it to you because of your relationship with Me. Jesus said, in that day, in the day that I'm gone, you won't ask Me. He said, you'll go directly to the Father. And whatever you ask in My name, whatever you ask in My name, He'll give it to you. In verse 24, He said, until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in My name, but now you can ask and keep on asking Him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. Praise God. Jesus said, because of our relationship with Him, we can go boldly to our Father, and we can ask Him for anything we need or anything that we desire. Amen. I also encourage you, when we're talking about you get to know God intimately through prayer, I encourage you to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues, because this kind of praying enables you to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. The New Living Translation says I don't understand what I'm saying. And you know, I think that's one thing that puts some people off of praying in the Spirit is the fact that they don't understand what they're saying. They feel silly. Well, I don't know what I'm saying. Duh, the Bible says you don't know what you're saying because it's a spiritual, heavenly language not coming from your mind. It's coming out of your heart. Well, it kind of sounds silly. Let me tell you, any language that you don't understand sounds silly. Have you ever heard Chinese people speaking? It kind of sounds a little silly to me. I probably sound silly to them. Let me tell you, praying in tongues is a spiritual language that you receive from God when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you pray in tongues, you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You see, when we talk about knowing God, realize we're talking about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our teacher, our guide, our comforter, to empower us. In John 16:7, Jesus said, I tell you that I'm going to do what's best for you. That is why I'm going to go away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to you until I leave, but after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. And then again in John, the next scripture that I have is John, 6, give me the next one, please. John 16:13. When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas, but He will be passing on to you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. The Holy Spirit will come and teach you and guide you and tell you things to come. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, my helper. When I pray in tongues, I am speaking directly to God. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, the Bible says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people, but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. Now, praying in tongues is one of the most controversial subjects in the church today. There's so much antagonism aimed at praying in tongues, and you have to wonder why. And I believe the reason why that there is such antagonism toward praying in tongues is because of the incredible power that is released in your life when you pray in tongues. The devil don't want you filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in that heavenly language. That's why there's so much controversy about it. Yet the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, placed great value on praying in tongues. Listen what Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:15, what shall I do? I will do both. I will pray in unknown tongues, and I will also pray in ordinary language that everyone understands. I will sing in unknown tongues, and I will also sing in ordinary language so that I can understand. He said in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues privately more than any of the rest of you. Now, if the man who Jesus appeared to multiple times, and the man who went to heaven and heard things he can't even repeat, and the man who was used by God to write two-thirds of the New Testament you're holding in your hand, that man said, I pray in tongues more than the rest of you. I wonder why he did that. Because it is an amazing way that you get to know God. To become intimate with God, I find the more that I pray in tongues, the more that I hear the voice of God, the more sensitive, the more intimate, the more aware I am of Him praying in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues after the service today, I'm going to ask our prayer partners to Tom and Anna and Jerry and Pam and Isabel. And I'm going to ask my mom to come in. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, you come afterwards and they'll pray for you. Today's your day. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, it'll revolutionize your prayer life. Second way, the first way you get to know God intimately is through prayer. The second way you get to know God intimately is by reading and studying the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, everything in the Scriptures is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live. If you read the Passion Translation, it says, every Scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. In Psalm 119, in verse 125, David said, I need more revelation from your word to know more about you, for I'm in love with you. David said, the more that I know your word, the more that I know you. Listen, family, you can't know God without knowing his word. When you read the Bible, you are not just getting instruction on how to live a life that honors and pleases God, but you are being shown the very nature and character of who God is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the scriptures say, no one can live only on food. People need every word that God has spoken. Let me tell you, you need the word of God. I need the Word of God. I cannot live just by physical food. The Word of God feeds and strengthens my spirit man. Do you want to know God better? Then know His Word. Read His Word. Read your Bible. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Speak it. Do what it says. That's how you get to know God better. The more you know God's Word, the more you know Him. You get to know God through His Word. Can you say amen, somebody? God's Word reveals who He is. In God's words, you'll discover, when you read the Word of God, you'll discover that God is good, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. You'll discover that He is faithful. He is the faithful one. You'll discover that He is merciful. You'll discover that He's kind, He's forgiving, He's compassionate, He's patient, He's long-suffering, He's the giver of peace, He's the giver of joy, He's the miracle worker, He's the healer, He's your provider, He's your protector, He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere present, He is omniscient, He is all-knowing, He's the only wise God, He's the altogether lovely one, He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Can you say amen? All those things are revealed reading the Bible. So many people have a wrong image of God. They see God as the source of their trouble, the source of their suffering. They think God uses problems like tools to try and teach them or try and change their behavior. Let me tell you, they didn't get that from reading the Bible. They got that from some preacher, from some person, from somebody. Instead of studying God's word for themselves, you'll be amazed when you start reading the Bible for yourself. You'll be amazed the garbage that people told you that is not in the Bible. When you study the Word of God, you'll see that God is a loving Heavenly Father. He loves you unconditionally. He wants the best for your life. He is merciful. He is good. He is the healer. He's the restorer. Amen. Let me tell you, David knew God, and David knew God's Word. He loved God's Word. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's dedicated to David's love for the Word of God. I encourage you to go and read Psalm 119. Not right now, but sometime. But I'm gonna just give you a few verses out of this to let you see. Because David is a man after God's heart. Look at David's attitude to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 46. My passion and my delight is in your Word. I love what you have to say to me. I long for more revelation of your truth. For I love the light of your word, and I meditate on your decrees. Verse 55, throughout the night, I think of you, dear God. I treasure your every word to me. Verse 72, the words you speak to me are worth more than all the riches and wealth in the whole world. The words you speak, Lord, are worth more than all the riches in the whole world. Verse 81, my heart is entwined with your word. Verse 87, I live according to your word. Verse 96, I've learned there is nothing perfect in this imperfect world except your words, for they bring such fantastic freedom into my life. The word of God will set you free. Verse 97, how I love and treasure the revelation of your word. Throughout the day, I fill my heart with its light. Verse 102, you yourself have taught me to love your words. Verse 104, your truth is the source of my understanding, not the falsehoods of those who don't know you, which I despise. You see, God's word is the source for knowing who God is, not the false opinions of people. That's why when you come to this church, everything I tell you, I give you the scripture out of the Bible. You want, why are you giving me so many scriptures? Because I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm sharing with you what the word of God says. Verse 114 says, your wraparound presence becomes my shield as I wrap myself in your word. Verse 127, truly, your message of truth means more to me than a vault filled with the purest gold. Your word is more value to me than a vault filled with gold. Verse 128, every word you speak, every truth revealed is always right, is beautiful to me, for I hate what is phony or false. Late into the night, verse 148, late into the night, I stay awake to think about your word. I'm lying awake thinking about your word all through the day. I'm thinking about your word, Lord. Verse 162, your word makes me happy like someone who has found a great treasure. Verse 165, there is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word. Do you know there is a peace that comes to you when you just focus and read and study the word of God? Verse 169, I must have more revelation of your word. And verse 174, your words thrill me like nothing else. Let God's word fill your heart and mind this year. I encourage you to use a Bible yearly reading plan. We have one on our mobile app, Ascend Church mobile app. There's a daily reading program. And there's lots you can find. But I use a daily reading program. In other words, I follow this program, and every day, I think you read two or three chapters, and then throughout the year, you end up reading through the whole Bible. Have a plan. You don't want to just open your Bible the next day, boom. No, get a plan where you read through the entire Word of God. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, in the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word, for this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. Listen, I encourage you to crave the word of God. I encourage you to have a hunger for the word of God. You know, when I was in Bible school, I was 18 years old. One of the things I would daily declare over my life, I would say, Lord, I thank you that I love your word. I have a love for the word of God. I'm hungry for the word of God. Number three, last point. The third way that you get to know God, the first way you get to know God is through prayer, spending time with him. Number two, by knowing his word, reading the Bible. Number three, you get to know God by attending church to hear anointed ministers teach God's word. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 11 that he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain the oneness in the faith. Until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. My job, God has anointed me to help you to know what it means to really know Jesus. And finally, we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ. God has given these ministries, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to help his people to know Jesus, to know God. God calls and anoints men and women into this fivefold ministry so that we can learn to know God. I've learned a lot about who God is from anointed ministers, like Pastor Theo. I learned a lot from Pastor Theo who God is. I learned a lot from studying books with Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Pastor Fred Price, When I started out, I would listen to their teachings like every day. I'd devour them. When I went to the gym, I had a Walkman with a cassette. You know, I didn't listen to "Hey Baby, Shake a Thing." You know, I wanna move and groove with you. I listened to someone preaching the Word of God while I'm working out, listening to God's Word every day. I learned to know. They helped me to know who God is. That's why it's so important for every one of us to be in church every Sunday. Let me try that again. That's why it's so important for us all to be in church every Sunday. I'm giving you one more chance. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. The closer we get, every day that goes by is closer to Jesus' return. The Bible says we should be encouraging each other and gathering together more and more. Let me tell you, to know God requires obedience. If you want to know God, you've got to be willing to obey him. Because when you know God, you'll keep his commandments. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 3, here's how we know. Here's how we can be sure we've truly come to know God. Here's how you can be sure that you've truly come to know God. Go back for me to that previous verse. It says, if we keep his commands. Do you know how you can tell if you really know God? You keep his commands. If someone claims, I have come to know God by experience, and he doesn't keep God's commands, he's a phony. The truth not, finds no place in him. In other words, he's lying about it. If you don't keep God's commandments, you don't really know him. When you know God, you keep his commands. And there's no better guide to knowing what his commands are than by reading God's word. Amen. Throughout the Bible, throughout scripture, obedience is closely linked with knowing the Lord. The Bible says Noah knew and walked with God. In Genesis 6:9, it says Noah was a just and a blameless man. He was blameless in his evil generation. And Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. Noah walked close with God. And he was also obedient to God. He was the only one who obeyed God of his generation. When God told him, build an ark, they all mocked him. It went on for like 40 years, wasn't it? Or 120 years he waited preaching. Noah was the only one. How about Enoch? The Bible says in Genesis 5:23, Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. I mean, he walked so closely with God that God said, I can't take it anymore. I'm just taking you home with me. And he disappeared. That's what the Bible says. When you know God intimately, you obey him. In 1 John 2 verse 5, it says we can be sure that we truly come to live in intimacy with God, not just by saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Let me tell you, the more you get to know God, the more you'll obey him, the more you'll depart from sin. 1 John 3 verse 4, anyone who indulges in sin lives in moral anarchy, for the definition of sin is breaking God's law. Do you want to know what the definition of sin is? Simply violating, breaking what God's word says. Anytime we disobey the word of God, that's sin. Can you say amen, someone? Verse 5 says, without a doubt, you know without a doubt that Jesus was revealed to eradicate sin, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in union with him will not sin. But the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. Now, let me explain. That doesn't mean you're never going to make another mistake again. It's saying when you truly know God and you live in intimate relationship with him, you will not willingly, deliberately choose to sin. Do you understand? When you know God, you obey him because you want to please him. And the greatest command that you can obey is the command Jesus gave in John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Do you know when you obey the command of love, do you know you fulfill all the other commandments? I said, do you know when you obey that one command to love one another as Jesus has loved us, that you fulfill all the other commandments? Does the Bible say that? What do you think? Does the Bible say that, Tom? Romans 13, verse 8. Don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and every other commandment can be summed up in these words: love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. See, if I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love you, I'm not going to commit adultery with your wife. If I love you, I'm not going to kill you and murder you. If I love you, I'm not going to gossip about you and criticize you. If I love you, I'll fulfill all the other commandments. It says in verse 10, look at verse 10. Love makes it impossible to harm another, so love fulfills all that the law requires. Listen to me. Love is what shows that you really know God. You show me someone who really knows God, and I'll show you someone that walks in love. 1 John 4, verse 7, and I think I'm about done with this. It says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. Let me tell you, if you want to know God intimately, you've got to determine you're going to walk in love. In verse 8, it says, the one who doesn't love has yet to know God. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, because God is love. Let me tell you, when you walk intimately with the Lord, know God, you've got to walk in obedience to him. The more you come to know God, the more you obey him. The more you obey him, the more you come to know him. Are you with me? And I'll close with this. I'll close with this. Knowing God is what counts the most in life. Listen what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. He said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You see, because when you know God, you walk in obedience to him. When you know God, you live in intimacy. You spend time with Jesus. See, some people are going to get, I can say Trevor Noah. He's a South African comedian. And he took over the Daily Show. And he's from South Africa. So I'm going to say this because I'm a South African. Because they had put an interview with him. And they were interviewing him. And he was talking about how when he grew up, he said, our religion was the most fun religion. Because all you had to do was confess Jesus, and then you could live any way you want. You're going to go to heaven. I'd love to tell Trevor Noah that that's actually not true. That's not true. There's a lot of people think just because they said Jesus is Lord that they're going to get to heaven. But Jesus said, I never knew you. In other words, if you never ever spend time talking to the Lord, you never spend time praying, you never spend time reading the Bible, then you really will never really know him. And it is knowing Jesus that matters. Having a relationship with him that matters. 2 John 1 verse 9 says, anyone who wanders away and doesn't remain faithful to the teaching of Christ has no relationship with God. But those who remain in the teaching of Christ have a wonderful relationship with both the Father and the Son. Let me tell you, God wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Let that be your life's goal. Let that be your life pursuit. The more time you spend with God in prayer, reading the Bible, listening to anointed preaching, teaching, the more intimately you'll come to know him, and the more you'll know his voice. Amen. Move on for me if you would. Did you get something out of this today? Did you receive this today? Did you get something out of this? You know, the Lord put this in my heart. I started working on this about a month ago. Sometimes it takes me 4 or 5 weeks to develop a sermon, and this kind of came together for me. I want to tell you right now, if you will seek after God in prayer, and if you'll read his word, and you keep coming to church every week, you'll come to know him intimately. You'll come to know his voice. You'll come to know his ways. You'll know his heart. You'll know his will. And one day you'll hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I've been waiting for you. Amen. Amen. Bow your head. I want to pray for you. Would you do that? Bow your head for a moment. Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. I know that not one person is here by any accident, but they're here by your divine will. And I pray, Father, that every single person who's hearing this, I pray that they would know you, Lord. I pray that the goal and pursuit and passion of their life would be to know you. Like the Apostle Paul said, all I want is to know Christ. Lord, all I want more than anything else is to know Jesus more intimately than I do right now. While your heads are bowed, while your eyes are closed, the first step in knowing God is receiving Jesus Christ into your life, that you can be forgiven of all sin and that you can become a child of God. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God. I'm not sure if I really know Him. I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died today. I'm not sure what would happen to me. Listen, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Because let me tell you, heaven's a real place. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. If you say, Pastor Steve, I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to know God. If that's you today, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure that I know Him. I want to make sure that I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. If that is you, quickly, right now, just slip your hand up. Just put it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is up, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. I want everyone who lifted up your hand, please, will you repeat, say this prayer after me. This is a prayer that I prayed. Well, it's almost 40 years ago. My whole life changed. Say this prayer with me. Everybody, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth so I can know you. Jesus came and died on a cross for me, took my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. So I'm going to say this with me. Say, I do this today. Lord Jesus, I believe you've been raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Make me your child. I surrender my life to you. I confess, Jesus Christ, you are now Lord of my life. Say this, from today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. All I want is to know you, Lord. I thank you that I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Give God a big hand of praise today. Will you do that? Give God a big thanks and praise. The Bible says, put that scripture back for 1 second. The Bible says in Romans 10 in verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, put up, there you go. If you confess with your mouth Jesus the Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you were here today.
It's a good word, amen. Praise God. Well, family, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? We have the opportunity. Those who are watching online, you're invited to give if you want to participate. And I just want to say that we are so thankful. As pastors, we are so thankful for the faithful tithers and givers in this church. Amen. There are people that are just so faithful month in and month out, week in and week out, and it's a blessing. That's what this church is founded on. Amen. You know, even Jesus' ministry, when he walked the earth, the Bible says in Luke 8 verse 3, it says that the people that were ministered to by him supported him from their income. That's how Jesus' ministry was provided for. And that's how our ministry is. Dan, thanks. This is not moving for me. So keep going. Thank you. I want to read a scripture. The Bible says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Do you notice that? That's how God's ministry is provided for. It is provided for by the tithes and offerings of God's people. And that's why we're so thankful, because everything we're able to do is because people are faithful to the Lord to tithe. Amen. He says, try me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there'll not even be room enough to receive it. So, as we head in, so actually that's, we have the envelope in red, and that's for your regular tithes and offerings. We thank you for using those and giving with those. But we have a new envelope sitting on your seat, and that is in green, and it says Heart for the House Christmas Offering. So as we, like many churches do, as we head into the December month, we are kicking off our Heart for the House year-end offering, okay? And you might say, well, what is that? It's a year-end giving, month-long giving campaign that has a couple of purposes in mind, and it enables us to raise funds to do more than what we're able to do with our regular income, amen? And so we have three main, David said this in Psalm 69, verse 9. He said, passion for your house has consumed me. So that's where we get the heart for the house. David, you heard it when he talked about the word. That I thought about it when David was talking about, he's like, I'd rather have your word. I'd rather have you than a vault full of the purest gold. That's why David was able to give away the billions that he gave to building the house of God, is because his heart was not there. His passion, his heart was for the house of God. Amen. And so this is really for those who have a heart for this house. In this giving campaign, there are three main objectives for it. The first one, one of them is we want to finish our children's ministry. We have one classroom, the fourth classroom, that we want to fit out. We've got some great artwork just gone up there. It's beautiful. You should take a look at it. But the fourth classroom we want to do, because we've got older children. We've got a lot of kids in one class, and we need to get that ready. So that's one of the things we want to complete. We have a whole upstairs office, church offices that we haven't done any renovation to. We want to complete that. It's not big, but we need to do it. And the most important thing is we've got the last remaining outstanding debt that we have on a number of things we did in getting into this building. It's not huge, but we want to clear it before the year's out. How many of you think that's a good thing to just go and just get it over and done with for once and for all? And so we're just asking you, we're giving you the opportunity, if you have a heart for this house, a heart for God, a heart for the house of God, just if you want to sow for eternal purposes, there's a lot of things that can vie for your attention and for your giving. You could give to, you know, animal shelters, you could give, there's so many good things you can give to, but you can give to eternal purposes when you give into the house of God. So we ask you to just prayerfully consider and give your most generous gift that you can in this month of December, and we'll give you a giving record for your tax purposes. I'll just end by saying this one thing. My daughter called me a month or so ago, and she didn't call me in order for me to tell you her story, but it applies, so I'm going to tell you what she told me. She said, Courtney, she said to me that they had their heart for the house. They go to Hillsong, LA, and they are a young married couple. They're both 27 years old, and they had heart for the house offering, the giving campaign, and she said that they felt stirred to give way beyond what they've ever done. She's like, it was a stretch. You know, when you're wanting to buy a house and you want to do all these things that you've got plans for, giving is a stretch, right? And she said, we just decided to go way beyond what we've ever done, and by faith, we just gave because we have a heart for the house of God. And she said, you know, Mom, she said, before the week was out, she said, I got one phone call from a company that I've never approached, that I've never had any dealings with, and they contacted me and they said, we want you to do a job for us in January. It's going to take a small amount of her time. And she said it was way more than what they'd just given. So that's the way God works, family. God's able to do that. And so give him the opportunity. Just want to, but we're going to pray over what you give today in our tithes and offerings. Just close your eyes, hold your envelope in your hand. Father, we thank you for what you've blessed us with. We thank you, Father, for your word today that reminds us that you are first, that you are everything, that all this that surrounds us, even though it matters now, it's not going to matter for eternity. But Father, we sow today, we tithe, we put you first in our lives. We have a heart for your house. We want your kingdom, your will to be done, your kingdom to come on this earth as it is in heaven. So Father, I pray for every family, every man, every woman, every child that's giving today. I thank you that your word is true in their life. As they give, it is given back to them. Thank you for open doors, new contracts, that you minister to them financially, bring opportunities to them.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You're done. Okay. Go ahead, ushers. Thank you.
Well, we've got a lot of things going on over December for the Christmas period. When you came in today, did you receive this Christmas at Ascend little invitation card? Does anyone seen this? Has anyone seen this little card? All right. How many of you know what the reason is that we give you these cards? Why do we give you these cards? Number one, so you can remember the events, but the big reason is you can use this to invite somebody to one of these events, right? So I want you to just quickly watch our promo video. If you haven't seen it, we've got a video that tells you what's happening in Christmas, over Christmas, over December. Could you play that for us, please, media? Thank you so much. And then we'll close. I think the band can come get ready. Oh, no, you're going to have to wait for the video. We're getting off of YouTube, and that's why they told me there'd be a quick little delay. But you can watch this video on our Facebook. If you go to Facebook, Ascend Church, there's on there. And I would encourage you, please share this video. Be so bold as to share it on your page. Will you do that? I said, will you do that? Will you share it on your social media? This video is two and a half minutes long. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Gigi. And I want to tell you about some exciting things we have going on at Ascend Church for Christmas. We're going to be celebrating Christmas all through December at Ascend Church, and we would love to see you. On Sunday, December 1st, at our 10 a.m. service, we have our Christmas card photo op. You can get a free professional photo taken by our photographer that you can use for your Christmas card. On Friday, December 6th, at 7 p.m., join us for our Christmas family movie night. We will watch a family Christmas movie on our 21-foot LED screen. We will be serving popcorn, Christmas cookies, hot cocoa, and ice cream sundaes. On Sunday, December 8th, at 10 a.m., we have our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. Please bring a Christmas dish from your culture. On Wednesday, December 11th at 7 p.m., we have our annual Christmas dinner party. We will be turning our sanctuary into a ballroom. This is going to be a great time with great food and a live band playing your favorite Christmas songs. On Saturday, December 14th, we have our Drop Your Kids, Go Christmas Shopping Day. Your kids will have fun time here while you go to shopping. On Sunday, December 15th at 10 a.m., we have our live nativity scene with a petting zoo where we will reenact the birth of Jesus. On Sunday, December 22nd at 10 a.m., we have our Happy Birthday Jesus Kids Christmas Party. Your kids will have a blast and every child will receive a gift. These kids also will be performing Christmas song in the adult service. Our Christmas Eve celebration is on Tuesday, December 24th from 6 to 7 p.m. We will have carols by candlelight, an inspiring Christmas message from Pastor Steve. Finally, on Sunday, December 29th, we have our Vision 2020 New Year service. This is the best way to start your year, getting a vision for 2020. We really hope to see you at one or all of these Christmas events. We promise to make you feel welcome. So from Ascend Church, Merry Christmas and God bless you.
That's her, Gigi. We love that. Can you believe the 1st of December is next Sunday? Starts already. So we want to just give you a head start. I'm excited about the things we're going to have going on. Yes. It's a great time to invite family and friends, get them to just an introduction into church and to the things of God. For next Sunday, we're having our photo op. So come dressed with your family. We're going to do it up here with the lighting, the screens. It's going to be beautiful. But we also, one thing we're adding to this, someone suggested it, and I thought it was a great idea. We have a number of people in our church that make things, sell things, and we're going to give an opportunity for vendors just within our church. And we have a number of people that already signed up, and we're going to have a display table out there. And if there's anything that you sell that you'd like to display, people are Christmas shopping, they might want to support you. So just come, and there are sign-ups on the counter as you're leaving. This really applies to everybody. Because if you want to come to Christmas dinner, the tickets are on sale right there on the counter. Go and do it right now. And there are different things to do. If you want to be part of the live nativity, you need to sign up. If you want to bring your kids drop your kids off for 4 hours, who doesn't want to do that? Just come and sign up for that. If you want to bring, come and tell us what you're going to bring for the potluck. It really helps us in organizing if you'll just go and fill out those sign-ups as you leave, right?
Absolutely. Now, the dinner, we wanted everyone to be able to come. And in past years, we've gone to restaurants or hotels, and, you know, it gets a little expensive, especially over Christmas time. And we want everyone to be able to come. So what we're going to do is we're taking all these chairs out. We're going to rent tables. We're going to cater food. We're going to have people in our church going to bring amazing desserts. So we're selling the tickets to the dinner for just $20. And that's a very good deal. The food's going to be outstanding. We're going to have our band up there doing great songs, and Rick and Leslie singing, and the whole band's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We really would love everyone to be at the Christmas dinner. We're going to be thanking all our volunteers and all our servant leaders, and we would sure love for you all to be there. It's a great time of fellowship, a great time to get to know people in the church. So that's Wednesday, December 11th is the dinner. And please use this card, the invite card. Invite people. Invite people. Invite friends. I'm believing we're going to have a great December, and I believe we're going to have more new visitors and new guests this December than we ever had in the past. Do you agree with that? So thank you for getting behind this. Go and start buying your dinner tickets now. Sign up. If you want to be in the live nativity or you want to help out in any way, we're going to be decorating the whole place out for next Sunday. In fact, Leo and Carol, I saw them carrying a Christmas tree. They brought a Christmas tree, 7 foot one. We only need 5 more Christmas trees, just 5 more trees to go, because we're going to have Christmas trees and decorate. We're going to have a great time over Christmas. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Won't you stand up with me? I want you to sing for 60 seconds. 60 seconds. Come and put your hands together as we go. Give God some praise.